Today marks the accomplishment of a lot of firsts for me. My first time being in a relationship, my first time being married, my first time being in love. Well, hopefully.
Experts hit it. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can do this. I don't want to marry a stranger. Oh.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. It's the Married at First Sight edition. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? And you know what? Ooh. Hire me because I'm the relationship expert. I got it all right. Mm-hmm. I knew that all these couples suck.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take a degree in love to know that. I'll admit it. You did better than I did. If you guys didn't listen to episode 3 of our podcast this season, we did our predictions. And proud to say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You got, you're 4 for 4.
I got it all right, although I know at the end we learned something new. However,
there's an asterisk next to your perfect
there
score.
There is, but I still don't know if they really called it quits.
That's true. That's true. There's scenes from the next where maybe we'll find out more. But yes, on paper, if we're going to play by the rules.
And we are.
We said, what are these couples going to say on decision day? And Teresa, by golly, you nailed it.
All of them right.
Four for four.
Boom.
Nailed it. Me? 2 for 4.
Ooh, who did you that? Who did you get wrong?
2 for 4. I said no. So maybe I'm like, if we could fudge the rules, maybe I would be 3 for 4. I said no for Becca and Austin. And I said yes for Emily and Brennan.
Oh, how could you?
Well, the reason you said no, because I went back and I listened. I was like, I want to hear what we had to say. You said she's too much of a party girl.
Yeah, which that wasn't the case.
That wasn't the case.
No, but I still got it right.
I know.
Different reasons.
I really
like Emily. Like, she truly surprised me. However, I still said no.
Okay, and that's all that matters, right, is the numbers on the board. It doesn't matter how you scored. It's that you got the points. But I'm just saying, if you want to call yourself an expert, it's not like you read the relationship perfectly. You just figured out the end result. You got the end result right.
Yeah, I think I am an expert.
Okay.
I wonder if there's going to be another season of Maths.
There's definitely, they're filming.
Debacle.
They're filming Austin. Not Austin and the producer. They're filming Maths Austin.
I don't know if I'm going to watch. I'm kidding.
I like Austin.
I probably will.
The city. I like the city. I'm always excited about seeing a city I like on TV. So
true.
Yeah. But I know it's kind of disappointing. Here's what I'll say. This season kind of felt like it flew by. I may be alone. You guys may be saying, what are you saying? This is the draggiest of all drags. I thought we kind of got the decision day pretty quickly.
This season started at the beginning of October.
Teresa, that's
October, November, December, January, February, March.
I'm not saying it was a fast season.
It was almost half a year.
I'm not saying it was technically a fast season. I'm saying it kind of flew by. Here's what I think it was. We had some never before seen things happen, which I think made it feel fresh. Michael getting a second chance at love. Couples throwing in the towel on the second week. Like, it felt fresh and new, and so I don't think it dragged.
I would say, as unsuccessful as this season is, I think it was one of my favorites.
And that's what I'm saying.
Or maybe the favorite, right after... No, I think the favorite was Boston with Mog the Shock.
Pretty good.
And that was really good. But this one was really good, too.
I still think those past seasons that we loved, by episode 15, 16, you're going, wrap it up already. Here we're episode 20 and I'm feeling like, wait, what? It's decision day already. So I think that's a good sign.
The
couple's unsuccessful, but as a entertainment device, very successful. I was very happy to be following along with this season. So it's not over yet. We still have one more couple trying their hand at love. And
And I don't know, seeing today's episode, I'm like, all right, they're doing it. Seeing the previews, I don't know if they're going to make it.
All right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Before that, real quick, a little business. We're on Patreon and Supercast. We're over there talking about The Single Life. That season's also starting to wind down. I think we have one more episode before the tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
But check it out if you've been watching it and you're like, oh, I wonder what these guys think. Check it out. You can join now and go listen to all the past episodes. If you join the Family Affair level, you can watch the video of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a monthly bonus on the Family Affair. And on Patreon, it's ad-free. There's a special chat room, which is fun. Supercast ad-free as well. Just no chat room. So Patreon, Supercast. Also make sure you're following us on Instagram to stay up to date with all the latest. That's where you can message us. You call in on Instagram at MarriedThroughRealityPod.
Yes.
All right. And make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. So easy to do. Look down, smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as my predictions.
That's pretty good. Very hot.
Very hot. All of them right.
On fire.
On fire.
You were literally, you were on fire with this.
Hire me, Mavs. Hire me. I'll match up people that will stay together forever.
All right. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we love love. Unlike these couples, we love love. And we're looking for love. And if you leave us a review and it's a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on the Monday podcast.
Yes.
For everyone to hear.
Everyone.
All right. That's the business. Let's do it. The day has come. Married at First Sight, season 17, episode 20, decision day, starts with a little fireside chat with the experts.
They always do it before each couple. I don't know what happened because usually DP wears pink. Mm. Now, SDP is wearing all pink everything, like it's the premiere of Barbie.
Ooh.
And DP's wearing red. That's not her color.
Well,
needs something bright.
The season was off. They feel it was off. They know it was a rocky season in the Rockies. And I think they're just throwing everything to the wind and saying, we screwed up. We've tried to do things the old-fashioned way. Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe if we start now, maybe if we shake things up, maybe if Brennan walks in and sees me in red and not pink, it'll rewire his brain and he'll be like, yes, I love you, Emily. So I think they're just trying to switch it up because, man, what they've been doing has not been working.
No, not at all. And so they talk about it and PC's like, it's been a rocky season. No shit, eh? You are in the Rockies.
Teresa,
mm-hmm.
Let's rewind 30 seconds when I made that joke.
You did? I missed it.
And I looked to you for a little validation.
I missed it.
Of a pretty good, of a pretty solid pun.
Oh, I missed it because I was focused on my pun.
You were just, dribbling, waiting to make that shot, paying no attention to me with the layup.
I hope you guys missed it too.
No. All right. So please take it. You earned it for four.
Well, they hope that Becca and Austin could make it. They have some ups and downs, but they're still hopeful if Austin learns how to communicate.
Yeah.
So let's just bring them in. Let's bring in Becca and Austin.
Shout out to Becca's dining chair tattoo on her foot.
That's kind of cool. I saw it before.
I'd never seen it before. It screams, I lost a bet.
Oh.
I don't know why else you get a dining chair unless you come from a family of chair makers.
You just maybe get attached to a chair.
Okay. But yeah, it was a unique tattoo to say the least. And it was the first time I saw it.
Oh, I've seen it so many times.
At least she didn't get Austin's name tattooed on her.
Oh, that's a good thing.
So we flash back all the highs, all the lows. And for a second, because they show the highs first, they show the good times first. For a second, I was like, oh, yeah. This couple's amazing. Like, I was getting a little emotional watching their highs. I thought, man, what a Mavs made in heaven, if you will. And then they started the clips of, like, Austin dragging his blanket to the NFL player's bed. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is more like it.
Yeah. So they're talking to the experts. They're hugging. They compliment each other. And Becca basically says, it's been great, but when I started being honest on camera, Austin started to worry how it makes him look.
Mm-hmm.
And just things started going down. I had the on-camera Austin and the off-camera Austin, and I never knew which one I'm gonna get. I didn't feel that he was being sincere.
Yeah, she lost trust. When you lose trust, you lose everything. And she lost trust because who am I to believe? Who am I to trust, the on-camera or the off-camera? I would trust the off-camera. And
yeah.
I think she started to. And that eroded any sense of trust. And not to jump ahead to like the big spoiler alert breaking news, but there was something else going on in the background their entire season that we weren't privy to, but that we found out at the end of this episode. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's where the trust issues really...
What is it?
The producer.
Oh.
This was not a, decision day.
Oh, you picked up? I didn't pick up on it. I thought there was a random producer.
No, this is an ongoing thing. So these couples are assigned producers, right? You get to know your producer. You have the same producer throughout the season.
Is that the big cliffhanger? Remember at the beginning of the season, there were all these spoilers that one of the couples is going to hook up with a producer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was everywhere. And we thought it was Lauren. When we started to watch, we were like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be Lauren because they're breaking up so soon. And she's going to hook up with a producer.
Great pull. That's probably it. Because, yes, they're assigned producers. You get to know them. They become embedded in your life. It's like every time you show up to film, it's not somebody new.
Yeah.
You have a producer that you work with, that you get comfortable with. And it was a female. And I think Austin had more than a working relationship with this producer. And it quickly eroded Becca's trust. And that played a big part in, I think, why this relationship is going the way it's going. She goes, it wasn't just the relation or the religion. It wasn't just the intimacy. It was the producer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Great memory. I think that could be it.
Yeah, and I think maybe they will find out on the next episode. Because then SDP says, you know, you guys have so much chemistry and love. And Becca says it again. Well, that's the on-camera Austin.
Yeah, and I didn't like this because SexDP said, well, what do you have to lose by just believing that he's being authentic right now? He's putting his arm around you. He says nice things. You think it might be inauthentic. What do you have to lose by thinking it is authentic? I don't know, your sanity? Like, isn't that the definition of gaslighting? Like, if you're just going to force yourself to believe that something that's not true is true, you have a lot to lose at SexDP.
That's true, but here's Austin proving my point that he is into her. Maybe he had his...
No, he's not.
Okay.
He's into his good image.
No. So in that case, he's the biggest moron that we've ever seen on the show because...
No, Brennan is, but...
No, Austin is. Because you're going to say, you're like rubbing her shoulders, you're going to stay married to someone to look good
yes.
on paper.
Yes,
that
and
means
then...
he is the shittiest person we've ever seen
I
on
know.
The show.
Go back and listen to the last few episodes. I've been making this point forever. He wants to cleanly finish this race... Look like a good guy.
Why didn't he say no? Honestly?
Because then he looks like a bad guy breaking this poor girl's heart. He gets to break her heart in the quiet of darkness when the cameras go away and nobody knows who broke whose heart or what went down. He gets to finish the race, get the gold medal, and then when the
gold medal for what?
For being a good guy.
But he's not a good guy. No one thinks that. Honestly, I think he's delusional. I think he wants to make it work because he has all these little things, but maybe he was a little hot and heavy. Is it hot and heavy into someone? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the hots for the producer, but maybe he just thought, oh, we're flirting, we're, you know, being flirty. I still think he wanted to be with Becca. Otherwise,
no.
If he didn't, why would you do all this? Why would you? She's literally telling you.
For the optics.
No, she's literally telling you, I don't. No, if I want to be together. Like, if he said no, she would be okay with that.
No.
Because she basically almost said no.
No, I went back. Well, I didn't go back. I was watching this episode. They went back and they played the original scene of Becca walking down the aisle and Austin's reaction. He was not thrilled. You see his, he starts to cry. I don't think those are happy tears. You see his reaction. He's like, oh.
No, it, I don't buy it.
He didn't smile.
I don't buy it.
He didn't smile. He didn't look excited.
Does he ever look excited?
Yeah.
When he slept in the soccer player bed?
Yeah. He was never into her. He tried to make it seem like he was, so he would come out as the good guy.
I don't think so. I don't buy it.
I know you don't think so.
He was into her. I know he was into her. I think he cried because he did like her. I just think we know awkward people. We have awkward people in our lives. Awkward people are awkward people. There is nothing you can do, and you cannot explain their actions by any means. I think he's an awkward person who probably didn't get a lot of girls because he's awkward. And he has Becca, but he also has his things. He has his religion, and he has the whole kid thing. And he's like, he has intimacy issues. And so he's just doing what he thinks is best.
So explain,
trying to be comfortable with the cameras, but I still think he's into her.
But then explain that. Explain that to me. If Becca said, oh, he's so intimate off camera, but not on camera, I would go, yeah, okay, he gets nervous and shy in front of the cameras. He's the complete opposite. If he's into her, when the cameras go away, why aren't you jumping her bones?
Well, maybe he doesn't want anyone to know. I'm not listening.
What do you mean? Know what? If the cameras go away, why is he only affectionate on camera if he's actually into her?
She never said he was zero affection. No, she didn't say that.
Yes.
She says he is not as affectionate.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You're not making a great argument at 4 for 4.
I don't like Austin. I think he's a potato. But all I'm saying is that there is no fucking way that this person faked this whole thing just to look good on camera. There is no.
It wasn't a big fake. It was like a half-assed fake. It's not like he was making out with her on camera and sleeping with her.
Oh, he was.
Barely.
No, he was.
Barely. But it's not like he was banging her.
I'll tell you what. I don't like a lot of people just because I don't like people. And I don't even know. I'm not even sexually involved with them. If I don't like someone, I don't even want them to hug me. I don't want them to be close to me. I don't allow them in my zone, right? Yeah. So if he didn't like her, why would he cuddle with her and kiss her? Like, I'll tell you, that's just not how human beings function. If you dislike someone, you don't allow them to be close to you.
I agree and I disagree. If you care that much about how people perceive you, you'll do things to make people perceive.
Absolutely.
You don't care that.
Like,
you don't care that much.
I would throw up if I had to hug someone I dislike.
But you don't care that much about what people think.
I don't.
If he wants to be loved by everyone, he's going to go out of his way to put on this good guy persona.
So why don't you do what Cameron did? Cameron was fine.
Fake a heart attack?
No, he didn't fake a heart attack. But they never really been hot and heavy into each other. And he's still coming out of it as a good guy.
Yeah, but he had an excuse to leave.
No, they called it quits before he told us something about his heart.
True, and I thought he was a douche.
No, I didn't.
I know you did. You liked him from day one.
Because I think he's like a good person.
Okay.
I think I don't buy that Austin faked this. I think Austin was into her. He just didn't know how to deal with it. He didn't know what to do. And maybe off camera, that's who he really is. Maybe he was trying too hard to be affectionate on camera. Maybe he's just not that affectionate.
Okay. All right. Let's get to...
I don't like Austin. I do like Becca. I just don't buy that someone like him, that he doesn't strike me as the sharpest tool on the box, would fake this entire season that he is into her, being in her zone.
Okay.
Without getting grossed out.
I get what you're saying, but it's not a grossed out thing.
It is. It's a human nature being grossed out by people who you don't want.
I'm not saying he's repulsed by her. I'm saying he's not into her enough to marry her for the rest of his life, which is what we're doing here. He's not repulsed by her. She's a pretty girl who's showing him affection. I'll point to any guy in the street and say, he's probably made out with a girl that he's not into. It's called going to the bar, going to the club, in college.
We all have done it.
Right.
You do it once and you're like, ew. Like, I need to use a mouthwash and brush my teeth 15 times. I don't ever want that person in my zone. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think
you don't
he's
let
repulsed
that person in
it.
Your zone.
I don't think he's repulsed by her.
That's exactly. You're proving my point. He's not repulsed by her right. at all. Right. He likes her.
Do you know how bad? But repulsion. He likes her. Repulsion is. I wish you guys could see us. T and I are both like nose to nose over this table going at it.
He's he likes her.
He's okay with her.
No, he likes her.
He likes
the
producer.
He just doesn't know. He no. I think. Oh, listen. I think he's the type of guy who goes out with his friends and everyone gets laid but him. I don't think he knows how to talk to women. I think he maybe banged once or twice in his life.
Okay.
And so now he is a girl and maybe there is a producer who's flirting with him. This is wow. This is like wow for him.
Right, but he's more into the producer then.
He's not.
Okay. Then you don't understand how attraction works. If you are more into your wife than the girl flirting with you, you pay no mind to the girl flirting with you.
No, okay. So if you're more into the girl who's filming you, why are you being so cozy with the girl on camera if someone you like is actually behind the camera?
Because you're married. You look like the biggest asshole in the country.
Oh, it's called Married at First Sight. Most of these people are assholes.
I know. I know.
And no one would, if he said, hey, Becca, girl, the religion.
Oh, yes.
The religion. It's not going to work out. I would be like, you know what? Good point. I wouldn't judge him.
I wouldn't judge him either.
He sucked it up till the end, but they could have sucked it up as friends. They could have sucked it up as Clayton. No, Clayton. What's his
name? Different show. Cameron and Claire?
No. The guy from Nashville with the dog.
Oh, Clint?
Clint. And what's her face? Hairstylist. Right? Like, they sucked it up until the end as friends. They didn't touch each other. The only thing they touched, both of them at the same time, was the dog.
Uh-huh.
They live together, different rooms. We love them together, but they're fucking friends. They sucked it up. So no one judged them.
That's how bad this show has gotten, guys, is that just because Austin played by the rules and made it to the end, Teresa thinks he's in love with Becca.
No. He played by the rules by being affectionate, by telling her things, by hugging
her.
Not
that affectionate.
What are you talking about?
Kissing is not that affectionate when you're in your 30s.
Are you kidding me?
It is, but four kisses on camera doesn't prove that you love someone.
Out of all these people, and I'm going to go a few seasons back, they've been making out and hugging the most.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the big D over here, and it's not Austin's, because you always thought he was giving small penis energy. But let's get to the big D, the big decision.
Yeah, they both said yes. Well, Becca said yes, Austin said nothing, and everyone assumed he's going to say yes.
Yeah, I don't support this decision, only because she deserves someone who has lust for her.
I support it because I think they needed that off-camera thing.
They had off-camera. Do you think they film 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
No, but knowing that the camera's going to come back and it's like, oh my gosh, is she going to say we had sex? Is she going to say something? Like, some people are not into that.
I hear you.
I would not want. There are certain things I don't want to share with anyone either.
I hear you.
Barely share them with you.
Apparently, there's a lot of secrets on this season, too. Everyone's got secrets. But we'll get to that. Okay, so preseason prediction. T said yes. I said no.
And they both said yes, boom, boom, boom,
they
for
both
now.
Said yes. Then we got Becca self-filming basically immediately after. It was
11:35 p.m.
And she's home alone. Austin is out and about with Brennan and this producer.
Well, she knows it because Claire and Emily saw them.
Which, like Becca's not going out, but everyone else is going out. I don't know. But Becca doesn't drink, so I get that if it's late and you're like, I'm not going to go out just to sip on water.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll finish that story up later. But right now, I think let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Can we calm down, Teresa? Because I feel like we've gotten way too heated out the gate.
I mean, you calm down over there.
I'll calm down. You're just all fired up over your 4 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Have you calmed down?
Well, let's see. We are going to go to Emily and Brennan.
Yeah.
Before we see the experts chatting, and they basically know they're going to say no.
Yeah.
And they say, let's just make sure we're all civil. and then they grow from this experiment.
Yeah, like it's been a little rocky in the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I feel like you're not picking up on it the third time.
This is my joke. This is my joke first. I wrote it down first.
Okay. Well, I don't write my jokes down, Teresa. PC has a good theory. It's kind of an obvious theory, but I'm glad he verbalized it, put it into words. He was like, I think Brennan had a certain type in his mind, and Emily didn't check that box, and he could never recover from that. I'm like, it's something no one said, at least not on this podcast, and it's so true. Like, you're going to formulate an image in your head of who you think is going to walk down the aisle.
Yeah, of course.
Whether you try to or not. And if the complete opposite walks down the aisle, it may be hard to reconcile with that. So I think that's a good shout, PC.
I wonder what his type is, because I would say it's like a blonde.
I would say Emily.
Yeah, maybe he's more into someone who looks a little more European, like myself. Not that he would be into me, but that's his background. His parents are Russian.
Russian, yeah.
And so maybe he's looking.
He was Russian into marriage. I didn't write that joke down.
Looking for someone. I don't look Russian, but I look European. But someone like Natalie, for example, right? Like someone who's like a little more that has that Eastern look. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I could say Emily's not giving a middle America look.
No, but she's also not giving a European look.
Okay, fair. So, all right. They arrive into the decision room. Emily's head has healed nicely.
Mm-hmm. She looks good, back to normal.
She's looking, the pieces are back together. And here we go. I mean, Brennan is the worst man on this season, hands down.
He's like, I learned to be more resilient. What does it even mean?
But it gets worse because he's like, before I would run at the slightest red flag, but I've grown and I've learned. It's like, no, that is exactly what you did. You may have not physically ran, although at the end you did, you ran back to your home, but you emotionally ran. Whenever that red flag was waved, whatever it was for you, Brennan, you emotionally ran and never gave Emily a chance to be your wife.
Correct. But back to my point, if Austin was faking this whole time, and then I like Brennan over Austin much better, because at least Brennan was an asshole up front.
I disagree. And here's why I disagree. Because for the longest time, I thought, Ryan is the worst. Super shitty for the way he made Lauren feel, what he accused her of saying, putting her through what he did. I was like, Ryan's the worst. But it was like a Band-Aid with him. It all happened within like the first 2 days of the relationship, and it was over. Brennan has dragged this emotional, I'll say abuse, this emotional abuse out for 8 weeks. And I think that makes him worse.
Yes. But back to my initial point, that's why I'm saying there is no way Austin was faking it this whole time. And if he did, that makes him the shittiest person ever. Because at least Brennan, as much as I dislike Brennan, at least he was shitty up front. He was honest about being shitty. He was honest about how he felt about Emily. He wasn't trying to play nice. I mean, sometimes he did, but then essentially he always said, I'm not into this. I don't want to hug you. Like, at least he was honest.
But he was...
It was an honest, shitty person.
But he wasn't honest. And that's my biggest issue with him, is maybe he was half honest, but... Sex DP would be like, you talk a lot about trying to protect Emily. What are you trying to protect her from?
Well, that's bullshit, yeah.
He's like, the harsh words that could be detrimental. He's like, he just like strings letters together and thinks it makes sense. But what are you talking about?
I mean, yes, he's a bullshitter, but did he spend the entire season saying that he touching her, kissing her, saying everything's great? No.
No, but he probably made Emily feel like the most repulsive person in the world, the most unlovable person in the world.
I'm not taking his side. I'm not saying I like him. I'm not saying he did something right. He didn't. But again, comparing him to Austin, at least he was upfront shitty.
No, he wasn't.
Even though, here's the thing. He was, because I know he was trying to hide it, but we saw right through him. But Austin was doing all the right thing. That's why I don't think he faked it.
So manipulative, though.
No, you don't see. I can't understand why you're being so close-minded about this. Austin, someone who, like, I'm telling you, if you're not into someone, you're going to act on it. Like Brennan, you're going to act on, like, oh, let's not even hug. Let's not get very physical. I'm going to sleep in my own room. I'm going to do this. Like, but let's keep going. Yes, he was kind of bullshitting her. Yes, it was an emotional abuse. But at least he wasn't like, oh, babe, like, yeah, like, come visit my grandma to Russia or whatever. Go on a trip. No. Like, he was upfront with her, at least trying to look good on camera, but obviously he didn't because he wasn't into her. Therefore, there was no touching, there was no hugging, there was none of that. But Austin, there was all that. He was just a freaking weirdo. And maybe there was a producer, who knows, but he was into Becca.
So who's worse? Now I'm confused. Who do you think's worse?
I think Brennan's worse, unless...
I do too.
Austin... faked everything and he was never 100% into Becca.
Right.
So then that's, he's the shittiest
that's
person.
That's manipulation. Yes.
No. I don't think that's true.
If he faked.
Yeah.
Brennan, I think, is the worst because he dragged out this psychological torture over 8 weeks and he didn't need to do that. He could have gone the Orion route and just said, this is over. But then apparently he says, I have enough to ruin your life after this is over. Like, if he said that, that's diabolical. That's
yeah, that's
horrible.
A shitty thing. I still
that's
think
horrible.
Orion's worse, but...
I know. He's Orion's second place for me.
It's just because Orion, as you said, came and went.
But good. At least don't...
No good.
Don't torture Lauren for 8 weeks.
Do it, because I want to watch something.
I'm trying to be a decent human over here.
So then what? If everyone's going to quit, then what are we going to watch on TV? Freaking Michael giving silly Chloe a chance?
We have 94 other shows we can watch.
Well, then don't put this shit on TV.
So you guys, I want to put a disclaimer on this podcast and probably the past two podcasts and probably the next two. Teresa's been dealing with a lot of oral issues. And I think it's really messed with her happiness and mindset. And
no.
You're just feeling a little bitter. I feel like you're a little bitter.
I'm not bitter. I'm just being honest.
All right.
Not everything is like rainbow and the horse with the horn. Unicorn. Like, not everything's like that all the time. Gotta be honest.
All right. It's time to make your decisions.
Yeah. And of course, it's no for both of them, as it should be.
I'm glad, though, because the experts always say, well, if you're not going to find love, at least maybe you'll find some growth opportunities. And Emily says, well, now I know I deserve better than you. I deserve respect. And that's why I want a divorce. So I think she grew as a person.
Yeah.
I hope. And we've learned to love her again. In the beginning, we thought, oh, here comes this party girl. Here comes this woo girl. And I think we were proven wrong.
Yeah, be like Emily.
A little bit. And then Brennan, just Teresa, the worst of the season, really, hands down the worst of the season, comes in and is like, I've done my best through and through, but we tried. It didn't work. I'd like to get a divorce.
Yeah.
He tried his best?
I think he tried, but... If you're not attracted to someone, it's hard.
Oh,
especially if there was something else that she like farted or like that just seals.
I think she peed in the bed.
Like, that's like seals the deal for you so bad that you can't come back from it.
All right. So you predicted they would say no. I said yes.
No.
I said yes. So Teresa, 2-2.
Yes.
All right.
One more decision day couples.
Claire, Cameron.
And this couple, they've been separated for a while, so I had high hopes, but ultimately, they're doomed.
Yeah. So they come into the decision room, and DP's like, well, you guys are already separated, but tell me about the time when Cameron got sick. And Cameron kind of jumped in and said, well, I did get sick after we separated, which was the point you were making earlier. And he says, so Claire had no responsibility to take care of me. I actually felt it would be easier to just work through it alone, right? He's had health struggles in the past. He's always gone at it alone. It's helped him focus on getting healthy. Claire wanted to be present and show that she cared. Mm-hmm. She could sense Cameron didn't want him there. And so that's why they grew further and further apart.
Yeah, this whole segment was just like, oh, I love you, but we're not good for each other. But I'm thankful I did this with you. You're such a great person. I'm glad we're close to each other. And I don't know what I would do without you. And you were meant to be in my life. And I'm sorry for the way I treated you. It's like, okay, just hug and say what you have to say. And there was a moment that I was like, are you going to say yes?
I know. Well, the whole, well, she says yes on decision day, I'll say yes. He couldn't have been further from that sentiment.
Yeah.
In this, I kind of think he self-sabotaged this relationship. I think he's had health issues in the past. I think you can sense when health issues are upon you. And he admitted when he's dealing with something, he likes to go at it alone. He doesn't want anyone there to help him through. And maybe he felt something coming on and said, I need to be alone. I'm going to self-sabotage this.
Well, but to his point, he also said that he was attracted to her. He wanted to be with her. He tried, but she was kind of like, she didn't know what she wanted. And she admits to it too. She's like, I'm sorry I dragged you through all this. I didn't know how I felt. I didn't know what to do. And he's like, it was being dragged so long that I kind of got turned off and I started seeing you more as like a friend or a sister because of the care she was there for him, but she was never there for him as a spouse.
Well, and I think it was before all the caretaking, they had a conversation about what each person asked for in a partner. And Cameron came out and said he asked for someone slender. And Claire was like, oh, she personally didn't feel like she was slender, so she felt like Cameron wasn't attractive.
Yeah, but he never called her slender.
No. And again, I mean, you can speak for women, but I feel like we all view ourselves differently than the outside world views us.
I get it. I can see how this could be hurtful, but at the same time, like Claire looks great. She clearly works out. Like she's got some muscles. And it's like, you need to feel good about yourself. And so if he says he was looking for someone slender, well, you are slender. So what's the biggie?
And she put it on herself, though. She said, like, well, I don't feel that. And Cameron apparently said multiple times, no, you are.
And I get it. I have body issues all the time. Like, I'm not even going to get into this, but I understand. I'm a woman. We all go through this shit. But I don't think she was into him. I think she wasn't attracted to him. He was attracted to her and she was trying, going in these emotions up and down, and he just got tired of it. Yeah. How long do you want to wait for someone? It's true. And I think he got tired of it and he got sick. He's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. 1-2 punch. So time for the decisions. Well, they both say they want a divorce.
Yeah. Which honestly, we all expected.
You said no. I said no. That's my first win.
Ooh, look at you.
Of the episode. So now I'm 1-3 and you are 3-3.
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, Ryan and Lauren.
I said no.
I said no.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm 2-4 and you're 4-4. And then we get the day after decision day. Everyone meeting up.
Let me ask you something. So on decision day, it was clearly cold. There is freaking snow everywhere. The day after, they're sitting outside in t-shirts. Is this what Denver weather feels like?
I mean, that's just anywhere these days. Is one day it's 80, the next day it's 40.
No, but you look, Brennan sitting in a puffer, Emily in a t-shirt, Claire in a t-shirt, Austin, like, I'm like, what's the temperature?
This is what you're worried about?
Kind of.
No. All right. Day after decision day.
Yes. Everyone's chilling. Everyone showed up, including Chloe and Michael.
Including Orion and Lauren.
Yeah, Chloe and Michael. Michael looks good. I like Chloe's overall.
Okay.
So
overall vibe or overalls?
The outfit she's wearing, the jean onesie.
Okay. I liked Michael's ripped.
Oh, I love Michael's ripped sweater.
Ripped sweater. He's and a like vibe. Pajama pants or something.
He's a vibe.
Yeah, what a vibe. So Becca gets right into it. She's not biting. Oh, yeah. She's not biting her tongue anymore.
Well, for us, Claire and Emily saying, "Oh, we went out last night for some Italian. That was beautiful." Mm-hmm. And Becca is like, "Okay, Austin, did you go out last night too?
Yeah,
you did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a bunch of us went out.
And so who went?
Well,
did your producer go?
Were there any producers? No producers. Are you mad at me or something? I feel like you're mad at me.
Well, first of all, when we got there, group hang. Austin tells the cameras, like, things are going great. Like, this is great. Like, we're together.
Yeah, of course. That's that on-camera persona, Teresa.
I don't buy
which
it.
Which you are blinded by.
I don't buy it.
You think that's authentic Austin?
I do. I just think he's a moron.
Ugh. Becca's like, did you come to this experiment for a friendship with a producer or a marriage with me? And Claire's like, Austin, you're not being honest. Like, we know what's up. We had eyes in the sky. We had people on the ground. We know what we know.
So he must have hooked up with a producer.
No, but you're lying about it, which doesn't bode well.
True.
If nothing was going on between you two, you would just be like, yeah, me, Brandon, and Lisa were out grabbing beers. If you're lying about it, there's a reason you're lying about it. So that's what everyone's picking up on. That's what Claire's picking up on. And then he starts backpedaling. Well, we all just kind of ran into each other. And from that point forward, it was just Becca and Austin.
Oh, yeah.
At each other's throats. And this is when Becca was like, yeah, this is the reason I was questioning our marriage yesterday. So the producer's been a rift in the relationship the whole time.
I guess.
That's what she says. She's like, it wasn't just religion. It wasn't just intimacy. This damn producer.
Well, Austin feels blindsided. He's like, I don't understand what just happened. But just to make it more interesting, Becca says, well, I'm confused over this whole thing. And Claire adds to this and says, well, we all the women here at some point felt silenced.
Yeah, it's kind of the thread through this.
Yeah.
But nobody was being honest this season, it seems like.
Yeah, and Cameron doesn't get it and I doesn't have it. And I was afraid he's going to get a heart attack because he was like, what are you talking about? He goes like, we had our issues, but I have never silenced you. He's like, I have never done that. And she's like, oh, like you did. And he's like, I did not. And he got so upset that I believe Cameron. Like someone with his condition getting so upset over this. Brennan's quiet. Orion doesn't even say shit. Austin doesn't say anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Cameron's getting so upset and basically saying that's not true. And apparently he was the one who told Brennan to go on a double date after this whole thing was over. Not to go on a double date at the moment. He was like, it was me. I said, hey, after this is over, let's go on a double date. Let's go out, maybe on a double date. And Claire is like, that's not true. He's like, that is true. And I believe him because why would he say it now? Are you trying to save Brennan? Why? Like,
well,
they're doomed.
Let's go back because you just said a lot. So I could see, because you have to define silencing. I could see Cameron and Claire having the conversation about what did you ask for? What did you say you liked? And the whole slender thing coming up and Cameron being like, okay, let's not talk about this because it makes me look bad. Because it clearly spiraled into an argument or a disagreement where Claire thought Cameron was making a comment on her body and Cameron going, that's not what I'm saying. I think you are slender. And him probably just going like, can we not talk about this? Because this
but
is
there's no silencing someone.
But that's what I'm saying. We have to define silencing.
I think
if he goes, can we not talk about this? Can you not bring this up to the cameras that we had this conversation?
I think silencing is not even can we. Silencing is like, do not.
I agree. That's a more direct silencing, but it could be misconstrued. I could see that happening, but I also, I don't know. There's just so much he said, she said on this.
There is, but he gets upset and walks away. And he tells the camera, says, guess what? Claire's been manipulating me from day one. She asked me not to tell things. She told me all these secrets that I was not allowed to tell.
And that's silencing too.
There is. And he's like, she actually, one of those secrets was that she's not attracted to me, but I was not allowed to tell because she would look like the bad person.
Yeah.
And he goes like, and guess what? She's texting me now not to let her secrets out.
Yeah.
And we saw her texting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. There was a camera and the girls were like, are you talking to him? She's like, no.
I don't even understand that because why would she tell him? And then be like, well, that's a secret. Don't tell anyone. I'm just telling you. That's like the last person you'd want to tell. You tell your girlfriends, you tell whoever, but you're not going to tell the guy. I'm not attracted to you, but don't tell anyone.
No.
You would tell Emily that.
Cameron's headed. He's like, I'm out of here. My heart is like, fuck it. We need to leave.
Yeah.
So they leave. And I was like, whoa. But we get a nice moment at the end when they're reflecting back. And Brendan said he needs to go and learn. And Emily walks
going
over.
On a journey.
Emily walks over to Brennan just so we can hear her well and tells him, hey, this wasn't just on you. It was on me too. We both contributed to this. And they hug it out.
They hug it out. But then Brennan's like, should we squash it? And Emily was like, no.
Oh, so, I thought squash it means like a tight hug.
That'd be squish it.
That's what she said, no? No,
squash it meaning like, should we squash our beef? Should we put the beef behind us?
Mm.
And Emily's like, no, I'm not about to forgive you for everything, but we can hug. We can have a nice moment at the end.
Well, Lauren says that friendship with Orion is back on the table.
You cut the cake, though, but it's back on the table.
We'll see about that.
And then in the end, Becca said, I think Austin's going to be the perfect guy for someone. I just don't think it's going to be me. So I'm going to give myself half a point. I'm taking half a point back.
No, we cannot. This is post-decision
2.5.
Nope. Then I'm getting 4.5.
No, you'd subtract half a point because you're wrong.
No.
2.5 to 3.5.
No. This is 24 hours later. That's marriage. They're already... People's been married for 24 hours. This is not an unusual.
It's very unusual, but...
No, you...
I'll give it to you. 4 for 4. That's the rules. We said, what are you saying, decision?
Yeah, you're 2 for 4.
You're 4 for 4 on 50%.
Yeah.
All right.
Just don't try to sneak a point.
All right, I was trying to sneak a half a point.
No, don't even try that.
Look, it was a rocky season in the Rockies.
Yeah, but don't try to sneak.
I still don't... She's still not getting it.
I am getting it, but it's my joke. I'm not going to laugh at it when you say it.
Don't ignore it either, though.
I mean, I already said it in my head multiple times, so...
You said it in your head?
I said it out loud, and then you just keep stealing my joke.
Yeah. All right. I was about to say that's the season. But
that is the season.
Well, we still have Michael and Chloe.
Ugh. Don't remind me.
So silly. All right. That's the episode.
Yeah.
Somewhat depressing.
A lot of heat.
Somewhat depressing.
A lot of heat.
Yeah. A lot of heat. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the podcast studio. All right. Well... As you guys know, it was a rocky season in the Rockies. But thank you. That's all
times.
I was looking for was for you to break. That's all I was looking for. All right. Guys, thank you. If you guys want to hear us talk about the single life, you can do that on Patreon and Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. Follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. Colin over there. I feel like we got into a lot of debates on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think? Who's the bigger asshole? Does Austin really like Becca? Please share.
Yes.
Also, smash the follow button.
Yeah, smash it like it's as hot. Yes. Yeah. All this drama.
I was in my head about to say also you can message us on Patreon, but...
You can.
Yeah, you can.
You do it. We love it.
You can. Message us on Patreon. Smash like it's as hot as all the drama. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we love love. Big fans of love. So if you leave a 5-star review and you wrote to us, is dying laughing over there now. Look, it was a rocky season.
I can take it.
It was a rocky season. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we will read it on the Monday podcast. All right, that is it. I have said it all.
I've said it all.
You sure have. All right, that means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.